Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Good to have everyone here this morning in the house of God. And we would just like for you to like us or share us on Facebook so we can get the word out to as many as possible. But it's so good to see everyone here at New Life Tabernacle. A few of us have gathered in here this morning. And I hope you enjoyed the Sunday school lesson here this morning. I heard that Dr. Guffenheimer showed up today. Haven't seen Dr. Guffenheimer in quite a while. But we hope that you enjoyed that. We are going to go to the Word of the Lord this morning. And we're going to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. And we want to read down through verse 39. And the scripture says this, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but unto them that believe to the saving of the soul." I want to talk about confidence. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. I want to talk about confidence this morning because it is very important that we have confidence in the great God that we serve today. The word confidence in the Old Testament is a refuge, or excuse me, I'm sorry, that would be Webster's, a refuge, security, or assurance. In the Greek, the word confidence this morning means outward spokenness. It means frankness, or bluntness, or publicity, and assurance. And so when we have confidence this morning, we understand that confidence is very close to faith and trust. And we've been talking about faith and trust in some of our recent messages. And so confidence this morning has great rewards because confidence believes God when nobody else will believe God. Confidence stands on its own. It stands on the promises when there's no real reason to stand on the promise. When everything says no, confidence says yes. And so we must have confidence today, and our confidence needs to be focused upon the Lord God Almighty. Faith, of course, is the key here because faith is what breeds confidence. Faith is what produces confidence. And this is the kind of confidence that, according to the definition of the word here, it speaks what it believes. This is the confidence that speaks what it believes. And this morning, do you have a need? Do you have a need for a prayer to be answered? Say what you believe. Confidence will say what you believe. I believe that God is my healer. I believe that God is able. I believe that God will do what he said he would do. I believe in the promise of God. And God gave us this truth here this morning, and I want to look at it just a little bit because faith brings justification as well. And so confidence is very close to all of these. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations," and this is the Lord speaking to Abraham, Abraham being the father of the faithful, and we could also say he was the father of those that have confidence. "As I've written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things," this is God, "who calleth those things which be not as though they were." That's tremendously exciting this morning, that when God speaks, it doesn't have to be seen, but it will come to pass. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. And I'm going to read down here just a little bit, if you'll indulge me here this morning. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And so we have become the spiritual seed of Abraham, and what he did we can do and be justified as well. And it says, so shall thy seed be, and being not weak in faith, this is Abraham now, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And so Abraham was very strong. And it says he staggered not. We don't need to stagger, trip, and fall when troubles come, but confidence will keep us standing straight and tall. And it says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Do we believe that this morning? We do believe that this morning, that God is able to do what he said he would do, and he's just looking for someone that will have confidence and faith in him. It says, and therefore it was imputed to him, this is Abraham, it was given to him or imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. So it's not just a story about a man in the Old Testament. It relates to you and I today. If, and that's a big word right there, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And so we have some very powerful things here in the Word of God this morning. If we can get a hold of this, it will breed confidence that will bring us through any situation. And certainly right now we need to be brought through this situation. But rest assured, there will be other things that will come up in your life. And we don't need confidence just for the moment, but we need to have a life of confidence. And Paul wrote here to the Romans and gave us here the example of Abraham. Abraham had never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Abraham was not, he had never experienced this great salvation that you and I experience. He had never had that. And in fact, when Abraham was alive, there had not been a Moses. There was no Moses. There was no law. There was no justification by the law. And in fact, there could not be a justification by the law. So Abraham was really on his own. He was just out there on his own, and it was him and God. Many times we need others to help us, don't we? But Abraham didn't have anyone to help him. There was no one to encourage him and to say, come on, Abraham, you can do it. Keep going, son. It's going to be all right. But there was something inside of him. And I thank God this morning for those that are around us that encourage us. But there might be a day in your life when you're going to be all alone and it's just going to be you and God. And that's where faith and confidence comes in to our walk with God and our victory in him. And so Abraham was justified with God before there was a law. And just to put it in proper perspective this morning, the law was given so that we could have order, so that we could have civil order, and so that we could have moral order. And that is what we need in our world today. The law can, and it is a blessing when we see the importance of the law and we live according to the law and the order that the law gives us. Just simply doing the law isn't enough, because some in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament were very good at keeping the law, and in fact they said that they made up new laws, and they could prove that they could obey a lot of laws. But we're not here this morning because of laws. We're not here because we have to be here. We're here this morning because we have confidence in our God, and we want to hear from Him. So let's look at the verses that we just read. Verse 17, it speaks of the Lord, and it speaks of how He does things. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And so that's how God operates. God speaks things into existence when there is nothing. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on and it says, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be. And God said, let there be. And when God said, it became a reality. We have something that Adam didn't have. We have something that Moses didn't have altogether. And certainly that Abraham did not have. And that is the Word of God this morning. We have God's Word printed. We have a number of Bibles in our homes. We're very, very blessed above and beyond so many, many different generations. And I'm thankful today for everything that we have. But just to put it in the proper perspective, Abraham believed God because he knew that God was able to speak things into existence. And then it turns and focuses on Abraham, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And so who against hope believed in hope. That simply means that everything around him said, you shouldn't be hoping in this. You shouldn't be believing in this. Circumstances say this, they say that, they say the other. You're too old to have children. Your wife is too old to have children. And it's just not going to happen. God's Word is too fantastic. It just can't come to pass the way He said it. But Abraham believed in hope. He believed in hope against hope. Amen. And so what he really did was he said, I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what the situation is. I believe God, and I have confidence that God is going to see us through and that God will do exactly what he said he would do. That's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he, that would be Abraham, considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, that's his wife. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. That's what we need to be, strong in our faith and in our confidence, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, there's that confidence right there. Being fully persuaded, not halfway persuaded, not kind of persuaded, but fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen. What a powerful verse here in verse 19. Everything was against the Word of God. Everything in nature, in the world, said, Abraham, you're believing a pipe dream. It can't come to pass, so on and so forth. But Abraham stood alone, and he said, I believe God. I have confidence in God. And when the Lord spoke to him in one place and said, look up, Abraham, look up to the heavens. And he saw all the stars, and God said to Abraham, your seed is going to be numbered as the stars of the heavens. I feel the Lord here this morning. And he said, that's the way it's going to be, Abraham. Well, he didn't have a son. He was too old. His wife was too old. But the Bible says he believed God. Like a little child, when you tell them something, they just believe it. They don't have any other thing to block their faith and their confidence in mommy or daddy. But I just believe it. And that's exactly the way Abraham was. And then it goes on and it says, now it was not written for his sake alone. This isn't just about a man in the Old Testament, that it was imputed to him. That would be righteousness, but for us. So this applies to you and I this morning. And if we can have the confidence and the faith in God and the trust in God that Abraham had, we will see the greatest move of God that we've ever seen in our lives. Abraham has become the father of the faithful because Abraham believed God when everything said, don't believe in God. And as we walk with the Lord, there's going to be times, there will be times, we're in the midst of times right now when faith and hope seems ineffective and circumstances seem to be very strong. There is much fear, there is much doubt, there is much hand-wringing and so on and so forth that's going on right now in our world. But I want you to know God's got it all in His hand and He knows exactly what He is doing. Praise God. Abraham, of course, has become our example of faith and confidence, the kind of confidence that leads to peace. And I want to read a scripture here in a moment about that peace. If we look at the verses that we just looked at, verse 17 through 19, there's some words in there that give us a very powerful opportunity to believe and to have faith in God. And here's the words, believed, believed in hope, faith, staggered not, strong in faith, fully persuaded. Those are very positive words, very positive things. Abraham was willing to give God everything. He was willing to obey, and it superseded the law. He superseded the law when there was no law. And he looked at his walk with the Lord and his friendship with God as very valuable. He was willing, and think about this morning, he was willing to sacrifice his own son to maintain that relationship with his great God. And this is truly amazing, but it is so against our flesh. We fight against this and we buck against this. But if we look at the greatest commandment in the Word of God, and I hope that all of us know what that is, it's very important. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. Amen. And so God wants to be loved. And how can we love someone that we don't have confidence in? How can we love someone that we have no faith and trust in? It is very, very difficult. I suppose that this scripture is the hardest and the easiest at the same time. It's very hard when you're looking through the eyes of the flesh, but it's very easy when you're looking at him through the eyes of the Spirit. And it's easy to love him, and yet it's sometimes hard to know that he's there. Not to love him, but to know that he's there, because he is the great invisible God. And so faith is that quality that sees when nothing is visible. Confidence sees things when nothing is visible. We believe even though we don't see the answer right now. Faith and confidence believes when there is no evidence. There's no, you know, in the world today, if there's no scientific evidence, then it doesn't exist. But I want you to know God exists and he is great and greatly to be praised. And so faith becomes the substance of our confidence. It breeds confidence, but it is also the substance of our confidence and the evidence of that which is invisible. So let's go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, there's faith again, we have peace with God. And so that's what we need more than anything in this world, is to have peace with God. If you look at it, when we don't have peace in our life, it means that we have taken a step back from our confidence. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have received access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Now, here's where confidence will kick in, if I could say it that way. We glory in tribulations. Now, that just goes diametrically opposed to our flesh. It doesn't make any sense that we would glory in our tribulations. The word tribulations there means troubles. I don't know too many people that say, wow, I'm in trouble. This is great. This is awesome. But he said, we glory in tribulations, knowing. Now, we've got to know some things about confidence and this walk with God. And knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And that word peace there, we have peace with God, it literally means quietness or rest. And I like this definition here, to set at one again. And so here we are, and here is God, and we need to be set at one again. And so confidence then becomes the glue of relationships. Because without confidence in your friend, there is no friendship. And if there is no confidence with two nations, let's look at the nations of our world today, and there is much doubt and suspicion and all of those things in our world today between nations. But when two nations have confidence in each other, there's peace between those nations. And the same applies to our walk with God, that when we have confidence in God, when we have faith in God, then there will be a set at one again, and we will come together, and we will have peace, and there will be hope, and there will be future. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. And so confidence, we have strong confidence. Cast not therefore away your confidence, which hath great reward. Paul was writing to the Hebrews. And I would like to say to us today, have strong confidence in God. And if you don't have confidence in God and you don't know God, then take a step toward Him and lift up your voice in prayer and ask Him to help you and ask Him to reveal Himself to you. Have faith in God. Have hope in God. Have confidence in God. It's kind of like stepping out when you don't know where your next step is going to go. But I will guarantee you this morning that when you walk with God in confidence, God will meet you at your point of faith and things will happen that never could have happened before. I remember many, many years ago when I was in the city of Boston, and I just felt to share this morning, and maybe it will help someone. I was just a very young Christian. I had not known the Lord my whole life, never read the Bible, didn't know anything about God. And when I came to God, it was a brand new, fresh start with God. And I felt a call to the ministry. This is, 5 or 10 years ago, and maybe a little bit longer than that. And I felt a call to the ministry, and I got a phone call one night, and it was about 11 o'clock at night in the city of Boston. We lived in another community just north of Boston, and the lady that was on the other line said, Brother Wirst, we need you to come and pray for Jimmy Brayman. And he was teaching a Bible study to some of his friends, and they slipped some LSD into his coffee. Now, you've got to understand, this was in a project area of Boston where there were murders on a regular basis. There was much drug abuse. There were dogs, wild dogs in the area. It was not a place you'd want to go at nighttime. And here I was at 11 o'clock driving to Jimmy's house to pray for him. And I can just be honest with you today, I was a little bit disturbed. I was a little bit afraid and had never seen any miracles in my own personal life. I was just really going by faith and hope and confidence. And as I was traveling, I said to myself, why in the world is he hanging around guys like that? And I was putting him down in my mind a little bit, and then all of a sudden, a scripture came to me in Mark 16:16, and it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In other words, these signs shall follow them that have confidence, they have trust, they have peace with God. And it goes on and it says, they shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. And all of a sudden, faith rose up in me, confidence rose up in me. I had never done anything like this before in my whole life. I finally made it to his apartment, which it was on the third or fourth floor. And when the door opened, there was Jimmy laying on a bed, shaking uncontrollably, his eyes dilated, big red circles around his eyes, and he was in the middle of an LSD trip. And I walked in with boldness, not really knowing what was going to happen. And I walked in with boldness, and I quoted the scripture that the Lord gave to me. And I said, Jimmy, the Word of God says, here's confidence speaking what it believes. I said, the Word of God says this cannot stay in your body, and God's going to heal you right now. And that was faith, brother and sister, that's faith. But God wants us to walk by faith and to trust Him and to speak the word of faith. And I began to pray for him, and as I laid my hand upon him, I could feel the fever in his body. And as we begin to pray, I begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, and Jimmy began to speak in tongues, and I felt the fever lift off of his head as I was praying for him. And in 60 seconds, God completely healed him of that LSD that was in his body. He sat up on the side of the bed. He was speaking normally. His eyes were not dilated. The red circles were gone around his eyes. And God healed that young man at 11:30 or probably close to midnight by the time I got there. And our God is a great God this morning. And if you'll walk by faith and you'll trust God and you'll believe God, He will do the same for you. Because my God speaks things that are not there and they come into existence. Praise God. God's so good to us today. If you're stirred this morning, if you're afraid this morning, I would just like to pray. And I want to pray right now at the end of the message. Then we're going to pray for those that need prayer this morning. But let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God this morning. I thank you for the touch of your Word today. And Lord, I praise you and I thank you for something to have confidence in, strong confidence and strong faith that we can walk with you and we can know you and be at peace with you. I pray for everyone that has looked at this message this morning on Facebook or have listened on the internet. I'm asking you today, Lord, stir their hearts to turn their lives and their hearts to you and to walk by faith. Begin a life of faith and experience in the miraculous and the supernatural, because you are miraculous, you are a supernatural God. And I believe you this morning. I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're home this morning, just say amen. Praise God. Scripture came to us this week, a few days ago. And the person that gave it to us is here this morning. And I told my wife when she read the scripture, I said, we're going to make that our weekly meditation scripture. And it's found in Psalm chapter 27 and verse 1. And it goes right along with the message here this morning. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? We could also say, what shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom or of what shall I be afraid? Meditate on that this week, and God will bless you with that scripture. And I know it blessed me when I heard that scripture, when my wife read that scripture. And again, I want to thank you all for joining us. We want to pray for the Tucker family. We want to pray for all of our elderly. Brother Keith is pretty well quarantined in his home, and these are folks that are elderly. We want to pray for Wilma Graves, and I hope she has been able to connect. She's been having a hard time connecting. I hope you're there this morning, Wilma. And we want to pray for her, and I'm sure there are many needs. There is one of our churches in Wichita has already lost one of their members to this virus, and so we want to pray for the church that's pastored by Jonathan Dudley. And I understand there are others in their congregation that have come down with this virus. Be wise about this, folks, and follow the guidelines. Those people know what they're talking about. But I want to pray that God will cover us with His grace, that He will cover us with His mercy, and deliver us from this plague that's coming into our world. And I know that God will hear our prayers. Amen. So let's pray for these this morning. Wednesday night at 7:30, we'll be having Facebook Live again. And we invite you to come be a part of that Wednesday at 7:30. And then Sunday morning, next Sunday at 9 o'clock, Sunday school on Facebook Live, and then 10 o'clock message on Facebook Live and on the website as well, nltaugusta.org. Let's pray together. If you're at home this morning, if you're here in the church, let's pray and let's ask God to have his hand upon each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you for protection. God, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy upon your people. I pray this morning, Lord, you'll keep your hand upon our elderly, Wilma Graves, Lula Tucker, Robert Tucker, Keith Soule, and Bill. We ask you, Lord, this morning to lay your hand upon those that are working and going out around other people. Lord, cover them with your grace and your mercy. Go before us. Give us victory. Give us revival. Stir the hearts of those that don't know you through the situation. And I pray this morning, I pray for Brother Scott in Sheridan, Arkansas, that you will heal him from his surgery. In Jesus' name we ask it this morning, and everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you this morning. We'll see everybody Wednesday night, and we're pretty well maxed out here this morning. But, you know, I feel the same way as you do. I just need to go to church. And I think what we need to do is make up our minds when we are able to come back to the house of God that we're going to run the aisles and we're going to shout and praise God that we made it through. Amen. Praise God. God bless you this morning.